Good morning, South Avenue. How are y'all doing? It's good to be with you this morning. First off, I just wanted to say, I remember my first day here at South Avenue when I was first youth pastor. I remember standing in the back and shaking everybody's hands and learning everyone's names, and I'm awful with names, but there was one name I couldn't forget, because as I was shaking hands, I went to shake this one lady's hands, and she almost slapped my hand out of the way, and she said, "We hug around here. My name's Bessie," and she gave me the biggest hug ever, and she says, "People call me Bessie," and yeah, that one name I would never forget, and so my prayers are with her and her family, as I hope yours are, but yeah, she will definitely be missed. But it is good to see you this morning, kind of give you an update on what's going on in my life since I've been gone. I've been going to a Clear Creek Community Church out in League City. I am currently interning there with the youth ministry at the Clear Lake campus. I just finished my first year of a leadership development program, and so that was very hard. I learned a lot through that, and I'm going to start my second year in September, and so please pray for me through that, because it's challenging. The second year is basically systematic theology. It's a seminary course. And so there is a lot to be learned. And right now I'm busy all the time helping out with the youth group in any way possible. So I'm learning a lot. I'm definitely being used. And but it is great to be back here. When I was in college, our college group went on this trip. We went to this conference called, it was a Passion Worship Conference, and this is a conference that's geared towards college students. And so we go there, and all the big names in worship music are there. Everyone you hear on KSBJ, Chris Tomlin, Matt Redman, David Crowder, all these people are there. And so we get there, and our college group is about maybe 20, 25 students. And there, at that one event in Atlanta, there was probably 20,000 college students. And so it was crazy. We basically took over downtown Atlanta. Everywhere you would go, you would see somebody with a lanyard from Passion. Every restaurant, every, you know, corner, we basically took over. And so it was really neat. And one of the nights there, it's just like they have worship, and then they have they bring a preacher on. And one night we're there, and it's where the Atlanta Hawks, they're the NBA team in Atlanta, where they play basketball. We're there, and we ended up sitting on the floor, and the stage is in front of that. And this one thing I remember, it wasn't who was playing. It wasn't necessarily the song they were playing. I don't even remember what the song was. But I remember standing there on the floor and looking up and seeing 20,000 college students all worshiping together. And so I felt a little weird, but I just couldn't stop. Everyone was singing, everyone was facing forward, but I kept looking behind me and seeing all these students, thousands and thousands of students, singing. And I remember as I was looking up, someone started hitting me on the shoulder. And when I turned, my best friend was looking to the other side, not even paying attention, just looking at it. And we just were in awe of all these students coming together, 18, 19, 20-year-olds coming together for the purpose to praise God. Now, we don't need 20,000 people, but there is power when a group of believers come together and worship God. Or there should be. When we come together, this seems like a routine thing we do. We come together every Sunday, and we sing songs, and we hear a sermon, and then we leave, and it's just on repeat. We just do that and do that again, and it's easy, if we don't refresh ourselves, to kind of get lost in the routine. So when we come together, so often than not, if you're like me, I'll sing a whole worship service and not pay attention to a single word I'm saying. Or I'll be lost in my own thoughts of my own, what I have to do this week or what I need to get accomplished. And so often I am not paying attention to what I'm saying. So often there are things that are standing in our way. And so to actually worship may get convoluted to us sometimes. We may think we are because we're going through the motions, but we actually are missing the point. So we need to know how we we need to know if we are actually worshiping or not. Because worship should be a sacrifice. Open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verse 14 through 16. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share with what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that as we go and break down this scripture, Lord, I just pray that your words are heard. That maybe it's been a while since we've tuned in to focus on your voice, but Lord, I pray that your voice is heard this morning. Jesus, be with us, guide us, let your spirit move in this room. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. So, this is kind of a strange term, sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of worship, because sacrifice is the idea of sacrifice is kind of an archaic term, right? We don't think about sacrifice. When we think about the sacrificial system, we think about the Old Testament. We think about, you know, bringing a bull on the altar and things like that. Something that, you know, a lot of different groups would politically stand against that kind of thing today. And so the idea of sacrifice is something that we really need to understand, because that's an interesting term that is used to describe worship. You see, when we offer up a sacrifice of praise, we're sacrificing our selfish desires, because our selfish desires call us to praise and serve ourselves first and foremost. It is our nature to want what's best for us. It's sometimes difficult to even look outside of our own mindset. We want to get attention. We want to get the praise ourselves. A few years back, I moved into my first apartment. I had a roommate, and when we got in there, I was really excited. And so this was the first place that was kind of mine. And so as we moved in, I kind of bought some furniture, and I bought, you know, a couch that I specifically picked out, and I got really into, like, interior design. It was really strange. I don't know why. I was really into, like, fantasy football and interior design, which kind of don't go together. But that's for, like, a few months moving into this apartment, that's all I could think about was, okay, this is a cool-looking couch. It fits this kind of design. Let's get this rug, and we're going to get this TV stand, and kind of getting everything together. And my roommate had to put up with this. And so I was like, hey, what do you think about this? He's like, I don't care. You can buy a lamp, whatever. He didn't mind. And so I picked out this specific lamp, and I, like, stained it and everything. I mean, it got so bad, we'd be sitting on the couch watching TV, and I would say, hey, Charlie, yeah, I think we should get some throw pillows. Carson, be quiet. No, think about it. It'd really tie the room together. Carson, I'm watching TV. Nah, there'll be, like, light blue throw pillows. We're not getting light blue throw pillows. No, it's like an accent color. It'll be good. And he would get so fed up with me and my, like, insistence on doing this. And so it got to a point where he was like, fine. He fed up, didn't want throw pillows. And I went behind his back and bought some anyway. I just didn't care. This place was going to look awesome. The crazy part was, I finally got our apartment looking the way I wanted it. And he brought some friends over. And his friends came over. I didn't know these people. And they're like, Charlie, your apartment looks awesome. In the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And Charlie's like, thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And they're like, yeah, it's great. I love what you did. He's like, yeah, you know, we worked at it. And I didn't know these people. And so I kind of stood off in the back and was like nodding. But in my head, I was screaming, like, what are you doing taking credit for this? I mean, and so I just moved out of that apartment. We got a house, Charlie, and we got another roommate. And then looking back at, like, those throw pillows as we're moving all the stuff, you know, how like messed up they are and ripped up, and the carpet that I bought, how ripped up. And think about how much pride I put in such useless, trivial things. And at that moment when I wasn't getting the praise and I wasn't getting the recognition that I thought I deserved for buying a pillow from Walgreens. What simple things, what little things do we crave attention for? It is our desire to want praise for ourselves, to want others to look at us. Worship is a sacrifice because we have to rip away from our self-worship and give praise to God. Worship puts our focus on God, and we engage in praise to Him with the fruits of our lips and our actions in life. So I like this scripture in Hebrews because it breaks down that sacrifice of praise. In verse 15, it says, "Through Him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge His name, and also do not neglect to do good and share with what you have." And so the first thing He looks at is the fruit of our lips. We offer up a sacrifice to praise with what comes out of our mouths. It is our role as believers, as followers of Jesus, to offer up with our words praise to Him. Whether that's through word, through songs, through our everyday lives, our lips should speak words of praise. And so this isn't a sermon, I guess, sponsoring a certain style of worship. It doesn't matter what songs we're singing, what style it is, what year it was written. Maybe it's something that's a little too loud. Maybe it's something that we think is a little too old. It doesn't matter. When we come together, there's power there. The Holy Spirit is here. And as we look through these songs, they're so rich in theology and so rich in praise to God. And also some of the newer songs that are coming out, it's interesting coming from South Avenue going to Clear Creek, the church I'm at, and how loud that is. But coming back today, singing these hymns, the Holy Spirit moves just as powerfully through these songs. And almost, I would argue, sometimes even more so because the weight that age has given them, that these songs have been sung together in churches around the world for decades and decades. There's power in the words we speak. There's power in the words we sing. And so as we come together and sing, there's worship there, but also as we go out into the world, we go out into our lives, into our jobs, into our families, we also offer up a sacrifice of praise there. We don't have to sing our praises. We can speak our praises. Our mouth reflects the condition of our heart. What does your speech reflect about your heart? So as you go home and you talk to your family, maybe your wife or husband or your kids, those days you come home and you're tired, what is the fruit of your lips? When you're at work and people are joking about a certain thing or are talking bad about somebody or gossiping, what is the fruit of our lips? Can we control our tongue? We see in James chapter 3 the back and forth between how small the tongue is and how powerful it is. Just like a bridle can control a horse, or one spark can set a forest fire aflame. Our tongue is powerful, but yet we offer up curses to our brothers and praise to God. Can a salt pond offer up fresh water? What does your speech show about your heart? Also, we have to look at the actions in our lives, because we can't just talk the talk. We have to walk the walk, right? We can say everything right, but if our actions continually show that we aren't praising and worshiping God, our words don't matter. You see, our words reflect what our heart is, and our actions do as well. As Christ leads us, we go out and it affects our life. It changes our life in real, tangible ways. In verse 16 in Hebrews, it tells us that worship is more than just what we say, but what we do. How we live our life should also be an act of worship. We make decisions every day. What are our reasons behind our decisions? I know one pastor, he he had the example of he wanted to drink a glass of orange juice and worship. So he sat at his table and he poured the glass of orange juice. And every sip, he thought about the taste. He thought about what it took to design taste buds. What it took for that orange to be grown in that orchard. To be squeezed, to ship there. Everything, all these processes that had to be done and how God had a hand in that. And every sip he would think about this and think about the weight of God and how his creation came into this one glass of orange juice. You see, we are faced with decisions every day, small ones, big ones, where we can choose to worship through that. Our lifestyle should be of worship. This is something we don't just do on Sundays. We don't just come together and sing songs and hear preachers speak for 30 minutes and go off and do whatever we want. Our lifestyle should show that we actually worship Jesus. What do our lives show that we worship? And so it's so easy to get distracted by so many things. I mean, if you're in this stage in life where I'm working two jobs and I'm volunteering at church, it's so easy to let church life get in the way of my relationship with Jesus. What's standing in the way for you to offer up a sacrifice of praise with your life? Is it your stuff? Is this what you focus your time and energy on? Collecting things or buying status symbols? Is it comfort? You want to be comfortable and you don't want to take that step out of that comfort zone. And so being comfortable and being settled and not being bothered, we offer up worship to that. We don't want to be bothered or interrupted in our lives. Is it your routine? You have your system down on how your life works. You know what you're doing from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every night, every day. And you go through that routine, and that routine of what you do and what you have to accomplish and getting it done actually gets in the way of you lifting up praise to God. And maybe it's your family. Maybe you pour so much on your children. You expect so much out of them that you aren't showing them what it looks like to live your life for Christ. We must weigh what consumes our days against our focus on God and be honest with ourselves about what we worship. Because I can guarantee, if you're anything like me, that is, if you're human, so often that scale between praising God and praising ourselves tips to us. And so how do we get that scale to tip the other way? How do we shift our worship off of ourselves and onto God? How do we continually worship and seek after Him? The good news is that we can't. Carson Jones isn't capable of living a life that makes God number one, because my nature is to go against Him. But this is the good news, like I said, because only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can step into my life and transform my heart so that I can live a life that focuses and worships on God. We might desire to live a life of worship, but we feel trapped in our brokenness. When we try to live this life on our own, when we try to do the good things in life by ourselves, it's like we're made of glass, and every step we take, we shatter a little bit and a little bit more. We are incapable of doing this on our own. We need someone to step in. We start living a life of worship by surrendering. We can't do this ourselves. We need help. To worship Jesus, to offer up a sacrifice of worship, it starts with admitting that we can't. That we need help. We need Christ to give us the strength to worship Him. Now that's such a catch-22. We need Christ to help us worship Him. It's like when I was a child, one Saturday I wanted to make breakfast in bed for my parents. So I got up early before they were up, and I went into the kitchen, and I started trying to make breakfast for them. I made the toast, and I think I was too young to really work the stove, and so I was trying to get the cereal, but every little thing I was doing, I was just messing it up and making a mess and just getting in my way and getting frustrated and frustrated. And finally, my mom woke up and saw what I was doing and how angry I was. She's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to make you breakfast in bed." And so very graciously, she comes and she helps me. She gets it all together. She cleans the mess. She gets it all on the tray, and then she goes back to bed, and I grab the tray, and I take it to her and give her breakfast in bed. It's just like a kid that can't do that but needs help. This is when Jesus steps into our lives and helps us to praise him. If you think about it, it's incredibly humbling that we are even incapable of doing the little things, that we need him. But it's also freeing that the hard work has already been done, that the saving work of Christ by dying on the cross, raising again 3 days later, and defeating death, he's already done the hard work. All we have to do is put faith in him that he will lead us, that he will guide us, and that he will give us the strength to take that step without shattering, to go down that path, and to offer up a life of sacrifice. But by putting our faith in Jesus, the clouds part and the walls crumble, and his voice becomes clearer. He is the fuel to our worship and the prize. You see, we must sacrifice ourselves, put ourselves to death, and ask Jesus to take over. This is what it means to offer up a sacrifice of worship. So as we leave here, think about the little things that get in our way, whether it's the distractions that flood our mind, whether it's our routine, or whether it's our desires that we think that we deserve. Remember that we don't deserve anything, but that Jesus saved us because he loves us. And in those steps, in those moments, how are we going to offer up a sacrifice of praise? Let me pray for you. Father God, I lift you up this morning, Lord, and I just thank you for this church, how much it feels like home being here, how this family has helped me in my faith, Lord. And I just pray that as we, as your body, leave these walls, Lord, that we can offer up a lifestyle of praise to you, Lord. And as we continue to worship this morning, I pray that the fruit of our lips offer up worship to you. So maybe there's distractions that have stopped us this morning. Lord, I pray that you remove those. That the only thing that our hearts, that our minds are focused on is you. Jesus, be our strength. Be our fuel. And thank you for being our prize. We lift all these things up in your name. Amen. If you want to make a decision this morning, if you feel like you want to make that step to offer up your first step of worship to God by surrendering your life to Jesus, we invite you to do that. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. As Brother Bill leads, we invite you to do that now.